Tonight we start Proverbs chapter 22. And in looking at Proverbs 22, the title that I have for this is, What is Worth More Than Riches? What is more important than watching the company we keep and guarding our mouth? Long title, the Proverbs, it jumps from so many little points that if you try to take it all and give it one thing, sometimes it is so hard. So what I wanted to do is just go ahead from the beginning and just start kind of hitting some of this and just letting you see how sweet it is right here in Proverbs. This first verse says, A good name is rather to be chosen than riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. The amazing thing about this is that many times people will give up a good name to have riches. People will give up a good name to have favor, and people will give it up if they can get paid. We have a saying nowadays is that, did you get paid? I'm getting mine. Long as I'm banking, long as my pocket is fat. But the wisest man at that time and the richest man at that time, Solomon, is saying, I'm telling you now, because I got all three. So what? I got favor. I got favor with God, else I wouldn't be this rich. Number two, I got riches, and my name is so smooth. My name is so wonderful that even people come from other nations to listen to me talk. The Queen of Sheba come over here with a caravan just to hear what I got to say. And I'm telling you, out of all of these things I possess, a good name is rather to be chosen than all of those things. And the amazing, and one of the other amazing things about that is we as people sometimes never get to see that. But then the Bible deals again with what is more important than riches. One, I would say, is a good name. Then God says the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. What in the world would something like that mean, Juanes? Well, we take a group of rich, we take a group of poor, we take one rich man, we take one, and we put them together. And the Bible says the Lord is the maker of them all. God made them. One is not better than the other one. No, he's not. If there comes a time that judgment has to be made, the Lord made them both. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, Psalm 24:1 says, the world and they that dwell therein. So if God is the maker of them both, they both are under God. Man, one of them are big in the eyes of God. Because you got $50,735,000 in gold and silver. You got, Solomon had way more than that. So it's hard to, when you talk about Solomon, you better talk billions. But then you got somebody that didn't have nothing but maybe one sheep and a little place to live in the eyes of God. The Lord is the maker of them both. And they both better bow down at my word, else I got something for them. Now, the other side of that is that when I send the rain, I don't just let Solomon have rain and let the poor man not have some rain for his crop. When I let the sun shine, I don't just let the sun shine on Solomon and Buddy can't have no sunshine. What we might need to learn from that is when we deal with people, maybe we should understand, I say we should understand, that the Lord made those that have and the Lord made those that didn't have. And by him doing that, let's treat them both the same. Let's treat them with the same respect. Man, because he's poor, you can't give him respect because somebody else got something. You think you're going to get a dime or a quarter or some dollars, you're going to respect him. And he might be the one that's not respectable. He might not have a good name. And you don't go thinking that just because somebody poor, you can, the Bible going to tell? We'll get into that verse. Verse number 3 says, A prudent man, a wise man, a skillful man, he foreseeth evil and hideth himself. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and he hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. When the scripture talking about this, this is an amazing verse right here. I want to read it. Let me read it for you in another version. Let you hear how it sounds. 22:3. I'm going to read it in the ISV. It says, The prudent person sees trouble ahead and hides, but the naive continue on and suffer the consequences. You all being men, you know good and well you've seen somebody in your life, and you know that person been warned. Leave him alone. He done hurt some people. Leave him alone. He don't play. But you know what? Like, man, he don't do nothing to me. I ain't like that. I mean, and you see him get up there, and in the words of the people on the street, he gets skint. Hopefully, he's still alive. You see a man sometimes, we'll get it. You'll see a man, he know that he eating too much. I say, he know that he eating too much. And he see the evil of that. Maybe diabetes. Maybe stroke. Maybe lung cancer. Or whatever thing can come from eating too much and it affect your body. If you see the evil of a thing, we're not just talking about evil like wickedness, but there are other evil that can come in your life and hide himself. Same thing with drinking. Same thing with smoking. Same thing with drugs. Same thing with running after whores. You can see anything that you know that there's trouble because you've seen it in other people's life, but you feel like, I got this Superman thing on my chest. You can't see it, but it's there, and it ain't going to get me the same way. And it says, the one that's prudent, he sees the trouble ahead and hides himself. The last thing on that right there, Solomon knew that in other nations, sometimes the kings would start a fight. They try to take some land. They try to set up something. And he goes on and not realize you're not strong enough to mess with Egypt right now. You're not strong enough to go up there and mess up the Philistines. But you don't listen to counsel. You're going up there and you get skint. Just like a man named Jehoshaphat did one time. Jehoshaphat hooked up with a man named Ahab. Prophet told him not to go. He went up there and guess what? Ahab ended up getting killed, but they were getting ready to shoot Jehoshaphat. He done had that arrow. The Bible didn't call the man name, Quan. It just said a certain man. And it said, peradventure, by chance, he just drew back his bow. And he shot and hit Ahab in the harness. But before, when he was about to get Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat said, that me, I ain't the king of Israel, it's me. Meddle, and you go get into trouble by not foreseeing the evil and hide. Verse 4 says, the reward of humility is the fear of the Lord, along with wealth, honor, and life. Verse 4 in the version of Aquinas you all reading from, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. When an individual finally gets in his mind that I am going to listen to God, and he says, by humility, by being meek and subject to God and the fear of the Lord. We're talking about reverence in some sense, but we're talking about terrifying fear. Your dog ought to know not to bite you. He ought not just respect you, but he also need to, if he gets out of order and he bites you, and I'm talking about bite you hard, you shouldn't have to kill him the first time, but it ought to be something you can do to make that dog not want to do that again. Now, I don't know about you all, but you all might let your dog bite you and put gaps in you. But I've seen people that had to train their dog, I can mess with your food. If I put it there, I put it there. If I decide to move it, I move it. You don't snap and bite me. You bite somebody else, but not me. But the Bible says by humility and the fear, the dread of what God can do to you, the respect of who God is of the Lord, there comes riches, there comes honor, there comes life, riches. Many times it can be riches just like what Solomon got. Because of the fact when you walk in with God, he shows you how to matriculate in life. He shows you how to go back and forth and live with people and be intelligent. He shows you how to do what's necessary and have honor and in your business so that you can make money. But then he says, and honor. There comes a time when people can start seeing that you got a good name, no matter what you were before. But when you fear the Lord and you walk with the Lord, people learn to respect you. They learn the respect you never had before when they see you consistent. And then life. Not just life in this world, but life eternal. It's so important that we understand that this life right here is so short. I've already told people before, I'm 47. If you double that up, that'll be 94. I don't think I'm going to make it to 94. If I do, great. But I promise you, it seems like from when I look at other people, I probably have lived over half of my life already. Now, if I live longer, that's fine. But if I'm living that long, I need to still be doing God's word. He deserves every moment of my life for all the things he's done for me. Verse number 5 says, thorns and snares. Snares are traps. It's a bird trap. It's a trap that they put up to catch birds, okay? It says, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, and he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Watch how it sounds when I read it in a modern version. Thorns and snares lie in the path of a perverse person, but whoever is cautious, stay far away from them. Thorns, stuff that can stick you, hurt you. Some thorns can cut and rip your skin. Especially in Palestine, you got no thorns like they put on Jesus' head, about 3 inches long, and trapped. It says they're in the lifestyle. That's what the way is. The way, the word Derek, or the path. Thorns, things that hurt you, snares, traps to get you, are in the lifestyle or in the path of a perverse person. But whoever is cautious stays away from them. Why do you say that? It fits with the individual that by humility and the fear of the Lord gets life. There are so many snares out there. Every kind of fun, every kind of recreation, every kind of thing to get your mind off of God's word. And most of the time, the consequences of those things are things to bring you down, not build you up, so that people can look at us and that the young men can grow from us. Most time, young men don't grow from we older men. Most time, a lot of time, we men try to be like them. And we the ones supposed to know the way. They ain't even there 20 years, sometimes not even 25. As some of the old people used to tell me, they don't even know what life's all about yet. And sometimes, those of us who continue walking the snares, thorns and snares, we can't help them. Verse number 6 says, train up a child in the way that's appropriate for him. And when he becomes older, he will not turn from it. Train up a child, King James says, in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Notice the word ways in verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the what way? Of the forward, of the perverse. 6, train up a child in the way he should go. You should train the child not to go in the way of the forward. So that when he is old, that thing won't depart from him what you taught. And it should never depart from him. He may depart from it. But it should not depart that you train him and you taught him. Now, some people take this passage because of the way it's written in the Hebrew to mean that if you train a child in the way that's befitting to him, what that means is whatever his bent is, whatever it is he likes to do, whatever it is you see he has a gift and a talent for, encourage him in that, and that individual child can grow and be good at it. Whether it's drawing, whether it's farming, whether it's working with the animals. You know, some people have the ability to work with an animal and make that animal obey. Do you realize how important that would be in a culture where they live off the land? You would never have to plow if you got an animal that you could train that animal to come when you say come, stop kicking, stop bucking, and just do like you say. Train the child in the way that he should go. The key word here is way, the path, the journey, or the manner or habit, or the course of life. I believe it's all inclusive. And then it says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. That means when he's beginning to show age, he may not be old like, he get gray hair. He will not depart from it. And when it says he will not depart from it, that word depart, that word means to turn aside from it, or to be removed from it, or to come to an end from it. You've got to do the training, though. The training means to inaugurate. And then one last thing that I'd like to add in there about the child. You're talking about a youth. We're not talking about when they get big. We're not talking about when they already got their mind set. They already growing a beard. That's kind of late, isn't it? By that time, he already looking at the girls. Verse number 7 says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The rich, the Bible said, ruleth the poor. And some people have problems with that. They'll hate the rich. But understand something, that if the rich rule over the poor, it doesn't have to be that the rich rule with an evil hand. Even back in slavery, some of those masters were good to some of their servants. All of them weren't wicked. Some of those slaves loved their master so much, sometimes they would take their last name. Tell me I'm wrong. The rich, those that have plenty, rule over the poor. There's another way the rich rule over the poor. So you realize that whenever I go to work, I don't usually go to work for somebody that don't make enough that they can live off of. I usually go to work for somebody that's got enough he can pay me something. Or as the young folks say, they can break me off a little piece of money. And what that means is when I'm working for him, is he the boss? If he's paying me to go and exterminate this building, he's my boss while I'm working on that job for him. Or if he paid me to take a bobcat and cut part of that yard down, he at that time, because he has the money, because he has enough to pay me, he is telling me and assigning me what to do. If he tell me to take it off on the left side of the house and I take it off the right, he's probably not going to pay me. The rich rule over the poor. But the other thing is the borrower is servant to the lender or a slave to the lender. That's only in the times when you are forced to pay back. What do you mean? Well, Sylvester, this is what I mean. I mean in the kind of case where they could take your house, where they could take your animals, in the place that when you say that you're going to pay, especially back then, you had to keep your word. Back in, like the old men say, your word is your bond. So you owed somebody and you had to work so long to pay that off. Good illustration from the Bible. Jacob wanted to marry Rachel. He had to work so many years under Laban to buy what he was wanting. That was his wife as a dowry. So it was almost in so many words like, I'll lend you enough to buy her, but I'm going to keep it all. When you made enough, when you work for me enough, you can have her. The borrower is servant to the lender because you're working to pay him back. Now in America, they may not be that way anymore because some people don't ever pay the bills back. But we're talking about when you're doing it God's way. Verse 8 says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, but the rod of his anger shall fail. If I read that in a clearer English version, verse 8, it says, whosoever sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the anger he uses for a weapon will be destroyed. What does that mean? What does that mean? An individual's lifestyle that goes out there and the lifestyle that he lives and the things that he does is wicked, it's unjust, it's perverse. That individual, that's the kind of way he does things. That individual, the Bible says, he's going to reap, when his harvest time comes, he's going to reap evil. He's going to reap mourning. He's going to reap a lot of naught. When he needs something that he should have, he's not going to have it. He's going to reap trouble because he's planted living outside of God's will. And as sure as God is standing and is on his sitting on his holy throne, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sow, that shall he also reap. And it says, and the rod of his anger shall not fail. You know, a lot of times people don't understand how powerful it is when they get outside of God's will. And so they go out there and they live any kind of way they want to. And then the time comes to meet God in his judgment. And it's kind of scary. So when he says, while the wicked sow injustice, the righteous product of their sowing is to get the bad thing that come to them. And when the individual is scared of that, he would do better in the way that he lives. But most times they're not scared of that. And then his rod of his anger shall fail. He's not going to benefit. He's not going to benefit. You can go and be mean all you want to. You can go and be wicked all you want to. But it's not going to benefit you in the end. Oh, but it seems like it will. I've seen people be mean to people. I've seen people mistreat people, but they end up in problems. Verse number 9 says, he that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. That's the exact opposite of having the evil eye. You know, when you read about the evil eye in the Bible, that's talking about a man that's stingy. The evil eye is not what a lot of times people talk about, man, he gave me the evil eye. Now, somebody might look at you hard because you might have had a stain on your shirt. Somebody might look at you hard because somebody told a lie on you. Somebody might look at you hard because they think you look like somebody they know. And you thought they gave you the evil eye. That's not the evil eye. The evil eye is whenever you see somebody in need and you act like you don't want to give them a biscuit. You don't want to give them a sandwich and you got it. That's the evil eye. So he says, he that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor. I submit to you, when that happens, the blessing that that individual gets, it comes from the Lord. It may not seem like it comes from the Lord because you can be blessed by somebody else. Like a lot of times you all go out, and you'll get stuff and you'll give food to people in the neighborhood. They may not consider it that comes from the Lord, but if the Lord didn't want them to have it, believe me, somebody else would. And often, this place right here has been a blessing to the people in this neighborhood, and often there are probably people that never take into consideration. They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to do that. So what you have here, you have two opposites, polar opposites. You got one man that's sold to the flesh, and he gets angry. He gets whatever comes on him. He gets destruction. Then you get somebody else that's sold by giving and being bountiful and generous to people when they're in need. And what does he get? The Bible says in that particular person, this person is blessed of the Lord. Verse number 10 changes gears. It's dealing with somebody's mouth. We dealt with rich and poor. We dealt with the rich, when the rich that has a bountiful eye and bless people. We deal with the rich and the poor when God is there with him. And how God is there with the rich and the poor, and neither one is better than the other. We deal with the rich, how in life they'll be over the poor. We deal with the rich, how sometimes when he has the ability to lend, then the one that's poor that borrows from him owes him. But then we come to a thing when we're dealing with the mouth. Verse 10 says, cast out a scorner and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Now, that scripture right there, probably to a lot of people, that just makes sense. But why did Tim say mouth? Because the scorner does it with his mouth. Throw out the mocker, the ISV says, and strife departs too. Furthermore, quarrels and discord will end. Somebody that has a problem with what's right, somebody that has a problem with God's word, somebody that's criticizing God's word, mocking God's word, the Bible says when you get that person out of the way, when you move that person that always wants to argue and don't want to do what God says, he says then the strife will leave. They're just like if you got a dirty baby's diaper in here, and you walk in the room, because I've dumped in people's homes before where I work, and that little baby had a whole room painted. It's not painted with paint, but you can smell his activity. And they're cleaning him, and they fold it up. And when they take that out of the room in a few minutes, the room back to normal. Some people's mouth is just like that diaper. Everything going good, Quanis. Everything is just as good as it should be, Mike, and they get started. And it's just like that baby. Somebody need to clean him up or at least get him out of the room so they can get back to right. And Solomon said, when you get throw the marker out, the strife departs. And he said, furthermore, quarrels and discord will end. The flies will leave. And you can get that frown off your face. So you know something. I'm just telling you, sometimes you walk into a room and the baby has done his activity. You look at your face. It doesn't mean that you don't like the baby. It doesn't mean you can't get used to it, but you're not expecting that. And once they clean that little baby up, put that little powder on him, clean him up, put the little diaper on him, get the other one out of the house, everything fine. The Bible just saying, get that kind of person out of your midst. if that person causes confusion, and then everything can get back to normal and being sweet. Verse number 11 says, whoso loves purity and gracious speech, the king is his friend. Lord have mercy if we men will learn how to do these two things with our mouth. How do you all like the way Solomon is doing the opposite on this? First he deals with somebody with too much mouth that finds fault and start confusion. Then he goes to somebody else and show you that this man can even have a king for a friend. Whoso loves purity, true words, words that are right, words that are wholesome. And that individual that has a pure heart and with the grace of his lips. A lot of people don't realize when he talks about pureness, that's talking about being clean. It's like ceremonially clean or morally clean. That this person got the right kind of mouth and he can say, yes, sir. Or he can say Mr. Ramble, and it don't hurt his heart. He can say Mr. Kiwanis. It doesn't hurt sometimes if somebody say Mr. Sylvester. You ever try that, Sylvester? You ever just try something, one of your co-equals? Just a co-equal. Somebody you've been knowing 15 years is John. Say his name, John Randolph. And one day he say, how you doing, Mr. Randolph? Why somebody got to be the boss on the job, or why somebody got to be in the courtroom for us to have a kind word, give honor? Ain't that easy? I bet it's easy for me to call you Mr. Kiwanis than it is for me to give you $300. It's easy for me to tell you the truth when we talk and not try to manipulate you with lies than it is to try to take care of all your needs. Why can't we give people that which we can give? Why is that so hard? Let me say something. All us about in the same group. How many men that you could think of, and I'll take about 15 seconds after I say this to let you think about it, would still probably be alive if they would treat people, if they could talk to people with purity of heart, in other words, their mind, their words are clear and not full of wickedness, and had some graciousness in their talk? I'm just throwing it as a thought question. You got one in your can of your mind already?
What question was again? How many?
Just, can you think of somebody in your life if they had just had a gracious mouth? A mouth that just showed people respect. Yeah. Irrespective of they were the boss on the job or the police. Just somebody in your regular. Some people don't even respect their wife. What you got, Mike?
I was just going to say, you know what? I was simply trying to think of who the man was. Just being real honest, there's been times I had cut my own self off.
Me too.
Because I couldn't hold my mouth. I couldn't humble myself when I needed to, you know, just accept what was going on.
Mike, you're right. And I don't like
that's
the...
That's probably the best case in looking.
Yeah, I don't usually quote Michael Jackson when I'm teaching the Bible, but he did have a song. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I don't know how many times it's been my mouth that wasn't gracious. It's been my mouth that said the wrong thing. My mouth that has cost me a job. My mouth that caused somebody to want to put their fist in it. My mouth that kept me from getting a blessing. My mouth that got me in trouble as a kid. And he says, listen to this, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. You will learn how to conduct yourself in such a way that even people in high position or even the king will like being around you. We can start that right here where we are, with the way we respect people. We could give people more respect than they do if we think of one thing, and then I'll move to the next verse. I could be mad at you all day long, Mike, and you all day long, Sylvester, but if I look and I say, wait a minute, Sylvester's created in the image of God. God saw fit to let Mike live another day. God got Kiwanis right here with me. And in the eyes of God, each one of us still had an opportunity to make it. Why can't I show him the same kind of respect and care that God showed him? Why? And you know, you sometimes when you have people that are acting up and you can't show them the respect that you want to show them because they're not being respectable and you can't. But I can try to get away from you. I can try to respect you enough that I don't provoke you to keep on. Bless the Lord's name. Verse number 12 says, listen to this, how beautiful this is. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. You see those, how those three deal with your mouth, the scorner. Get rid of him. Move him out of the way. Don't fight him. If you can get him out of the way, the stink leave. The man that got the pure lips, even people in high places, the king can be your friend. And on top of that, understand that the eyes of the Lord, they preserve knowledge. They don't forget. And he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. You can have all kind of big plans in your mind. You can have different things that's going on that you think you're going to do. But you better understand one thing about it. God knows what you're doing. And God knows that you are a transgressor. And God has the ability to overthrow it. Because sometimes people plan to do wickedness. Got that big boasting mouth. I'm going to do so and so. You don't really know. There's a lot of people went to bed last night that didn't wake up today. Somebody say, how you know that, Tim? Because they keep statistics. Every minute, somebody's gone. Every minute. And I've been living a lot of minutes, and it just hadn't been me yet. But it'll come. I don't even have to rush it. I don't even have to run from it. It's coming. My day's going to come. And when it comes, I pray to the Lord God Almighty that I'm going to be ready for it. I need to be ready for it because it's coming anyway. So anyway, when the individual that has a wicked mouth like that and his words are overthrown, often God shows his words to be what they are. Because sometimes people that are wicked, they'll say stuff and they'll make you promises that they don't intend to keep. God shows that up. God often lets you see who a person is. Listen to how this is said in one of my books. It says, the knowledge of Yahweh guards. It is functionally the same as wisdom. And the unfaithful are those who use their words to oppose the right way of God. And God causes their distortion of the truth to be shown for what they are. What do you mean by that? You boast on what you're going to do? You boast on who you are? God has a way to let people know you're not the truth. He overthrows your mouth. Because all your mouth is your mouth. There ain't no power behind it. Verse number 13 says, now notice this. It's back shields the mouth. The slothful man saith, there's a lion without in the street. I shall be slain in the streets. Do you see what that mouth will do? The mouth will distort the truth and give an individual an excuse that's not really there so that he doesn't have to do what he needs to do to be wise. What do you mean? You need to be working. You need to be taking care of yourself. The key word there is sluggard. That sluggard being lazy. So the lazy man says, there's a lion outside in the streets. And there's a lion outside and I'll be killed in the street. I can't go to work today. Well, can you imagine what people could say today? There's cars going out there too fast. I can't work today. There are people out there with guns. I can't go to work today. It's going to be too hot. I can't go to work today. And what the Bible is showing right here, that there are people, even with their mouth, they'll try to distort reality. They cover up who they are. But the individual that uses his mouth to that will be brought to ruin. Because we've read many of the chapters already talking about how the sluggard will be hungry and won't have what he needs to live. And he goes to the mouth of the strange woman. Notice, now we've gone from the lazy man to the woman. To the woman that's a strange woman. To the woman that's a prostitute. It says the mouth, that means the word, of the strange woman is a deep pit. And he that is abhorred by the Lord shall fall therein. Do you understand that word abhorred means it's abominable in God's sight? That person that God is denouncing, and put a curse on. This person is the one that will fall for the words of the strange woman, because her mouth is as a deep, deep ditch, the Bible says. I was looking in the dictionary with semantic domains, and listen to what it says about the pit. It's a man-made hole in the ground with very steep sides, which is used to capture and contain prisoners. It says it's a natural fissure in the ground, which is below the surface of the earth. When he says the words of a woman, of a strange woman, is like a deep pit, and he that is abhorred by the Lord falleth therein. And I looked up that word fall, and it shocked me. That word means to be slung down. To fall is into a violent death, or to go into an attack. It's saying that when God is through with you, when God has got a curse on you, he'll take that individual, and his folly is of such, and he lives such a way, God will let a woman be the downfall of you. Somebody say, Tim, that will never happen. Has anybody heard of a man named Samson? Has anybody ever heard of a man named Samson? Judges chapter 13 through 16. Man that was so strong, when the Spirit of God came upon him, he could tear a lion apart with his bare hand, pick up a gate and move it from the city, kill 1,000 men with a jawbone of an ass. But the words of the deep pit are the words that flowed like honey from Delilah. You don't love me, Samson. You won't tell me your secret, Samson. Samson, where do your strength come from? Samson, you say you love me, baby, baby, baby. And the Bible said he grew weary, didn't he? And he told about his Nazarite vow. Well, some people think his strength was in his hair. It wasn't in the hair. It was in the vow of consecration. When his hair was cut, that broke the vow of consecration. And when he jumped up in the 16th chapter of the book of Judges, the Bible said he wist not. Yeah, King James said he wist not, which means he did not know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. He was in that pit. You know what they did to him for me? They punched his eyes out. They made him grind wheat like the women do. So one day his hair grew back. So what I'm saying is, we need to be careful of these strange women. There's just a lot of them around, because our society trained them to be that way. Then the Bible says, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness. You got a slothful man with his mouth making excuse. You got a strange woman with her mouth enticing men. You got men that boast and make words, and God has to overthrow that. You got one man in this whole thing that's saying the right thing. That's the man that's got a pure heart, got gracious lips. You got to cast out the scorner. But you look at this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, folly, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. There comes a time that an individual may have to take a rod. It says a branch, or offshoot, or a club, or it says a staff. This means that this is something that you will have to use to chasten that child so that child will obey. I ain't make this up. It's in here. Talks about a scepter, a scepter, a tribe. What it means is sometimes you have to use force to stop a child in his folly. Yeah. And folly is when they don't want to hear instruction. When they have something that they need to want to say and not accept the truth. But everybody's not qualified to use the rod of correction. Sometimes people use the rod as a billy club to injure, to wound, to beat down. Bow down to me, but not to correct. But when God chastens us, it's to correct us. And then we should be the same with our children. The scripture goes right back to the poor and the rich. Notice it went from the rich to the poor, went to the mouth. Now it's back to the rich and the poor. Listen to this in verse 16. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. The individual that oppress the poor to try to get his riches, gonna come down with God, gonna deal with you, and it's not gonna benefit you. It's not gonna benefit you, and you to give to the rich, you trying to get some kind of favor, you're gonna end up coming to want because they don't need what you have. You trying to bribe the wrong one. You trying to give to the wrong one. Instead of trying to help the poor, you trying to give the rich. You, as my son said, you trying to come up. And it's like, you will surely come to want. But then, we move to the mouth again in a different way. Listen to what it says. Bow down your ear, or incline your ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart to my knowledge. Bow down, incline your ear to the wise. Listen to the words of those that are wise. This thing goes all the way to the 24th chapter, where there's 30 sayings of the wise that it's going to be talking about. And some of this stuff run parallel with some stuff that I was seeing that the Egyptian had. But anyway, it says, bow your ears down. And what's some of the first things that we have? Because we'll be dealing with those for the next couple of chapters. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within thee, and they withal shall be fitted in thy what? Lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to thee this day. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Listen to this. I've written to you things that excel in counsel and instruction and knowledge. What is this saying? If you bow down your ears and listen to the words of knowledge, you apply them to your heart, then it's a pleasant thing for you to keep them, and that's going to come out of your mouth. You have a person around with somebody being wise, it should rub off. If you listen, it should rub off. Somebody ought to be able to benefit from your life, Quanis. When you talk to some young dude, he ought to be able to listen and say, you know what, Mr. Quanis said that. I'm not going to go up there and do that. Especially like, you know, you can easily see a young guy getting ready to go, maybe shoot somebody, cut somebody. And you might say, look, man, all he did was cuss you out. No, man, you can't talk to me like that. He's like, man, you know what? You can spend some years trying to get out of some trouble. You can get in 5 minutes. Man, it was just word. Let that go. But, man, you can't do me like that in front of people. And he's like, okay, let me tell you something. I knew a man. And you tell the story. And that man said, so that man right now still locked up because he never learned to listen. Every time they get ready for him to parole, he do something else. And you want to spend your life like that? You just about 7. How old are you? This is how I say to the young boy. Well, how old are you? About 17, 18? You want to, the next time you see this place be in your 30s, you better listen to a man that got some gray. And he said, okay, Mr. Kiwanis, I'm going to listen. And come to find out later on, that same dude that cussed him out might have had a toothache. It had nothing to do with him but because he was in pain, and you were going to go up there and do something. And even if he meant it, is it worth it to take a life? So that's how wisdom get to be fit. If somebody listen, they can speak that wisdom to somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else. This is showing that you can pass wisdom along to somebody else if they'll listen. Then he says, 19, that your trust may be in the Lord. If we can give people a wisdom of the Lord and they pass it on, we can give them wisdom. They can give somebody else wisdom. And he says, I have made known unto thee this day, even to thee, have I not written to thee excellent things and counsel and knowledge? This man is the kind of person that did it not just in what he said, but also what he wrote. And the thing that I like about the way he did this, he talking about also in a musical type of way. Verse number 21 says, that I may make thee know the certainty of the words. Notice words come from the mouth. Words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. It should come a time that individual has so much wisdom and knowledge that when you talk to somebody, that somebody has shared knowledge with you, when they talk to you, they should be able to hear wisdom from your mouth. It shouldn't be all the time, it's like, I don't know if he got it or not. I don't know if he understands it or not. Why can't sometimes people be proud and they can just show somebody, you know what, I'm learning. You spent time with me. I'm going to grow from what you have to say. But a lot of times people have problem with this passage where he talks about the doctrine of truth. They are true in themselves. But what we want to emphasize is that the individual, when they get information and knowledge is important, communicate it back. Show the person. Make it reciprocal. You encourage the person to teach you more. Have you ever had a situation like that where you gave somebody some knowledge and they repeated it back to you and you see that they're getting it and it make you want to give them more?
I've never had one like that. Okay. I have had one.
Put that microphone kind of closer where they can hear him on the phone. Just kind of hold it back in the back of your chair and they'll be able to hear it. Because sometimes they say they can't hear him when he speaks. Thank you. Yeah, there you go.
I was just saying that I hadn't had one exactly like you spoke about. You know, have you ever, I'll change around a little bit. Have you ever said something to someone and you were saying it to be helpful?
Mm-hmm.
You were saying it from personal experience and you forgot about it.
Uh-huh.
And they come back and brought it back to you and it just made you feel good that it did, you know what I'm saying? You know, you remember what you said when you said it to them, and you forgot about it, but it was a good feeling to figure out that they heard you when you said it, and it must have struck a chord in because they repeated it to you
and
a month later.
And I believe that's what the Lord wants from us. When are we going to start taking His wisdom and let Him hear it out of our mouth? When we pray like He said. Well, it don't do me any good. No, God want me to be upright, want me to be trustworthy. And I say, Lord, help me steal this car. That ain't nothing. When I pray, Lord, I feel like I want to do something I have no business doing, but you said in your word, and I trust you. Now, Lord, I ain't going to do it, but I ask you to help me take the taste of that wickedness out of my heart. Lord, have mercy. I wish we would just get our mind to the place where we would just trust God and understand who He is. Again, we're back to the poor and the rich again. Look at this. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. That's in judgment. Don't rob the poor because it's easy sometimes. Don't rob the poor because he's poor. And don't oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead his. Listen to this. For the Lord will plead his cause. You don't want the Lord to plead his cause. Who can plead a cause better than the Lord? Who is going to bring a legal case against you better than the Lord? It said the Lord will plead or bring his cause to judgment and the spoil of the soul of those that spoil them. In other words, God going to bring a case against you. God going to work it out. But somebody said, but Tim, yeah, people have done things to people and took your property, took your land, done stuff like this in America to people. Oh, but it's not over. Just cause somebody died, we act like this is all that there is. I guess if people would have feel like that every time you go to sleep, I guess you should feel like that's all that there is. And when you wake up, it's a new day, so that you're not the same person. Oh, it's a case of like death and resurrection. Yes, it is written in your life. There is something after death, which is the ultimate judgment. But the word of the wise says, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man or with a furious man. Thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. Don't you get to be friends with somebody that's evil. Don't you make friends with somebody that's angry and full of wrath and that's the kind of person that's ready to go off on people. Don't make friendship with the angry man, with the furious man. Don't hang out with him lest you learn his ways and make a snare to your soul. Somebody might say, I don't understand what that means. I don't get nothing out of that verse. Well, I'm going to tell you how to get something out of that verse. First, I'm going to read another verse and then I'm going to show you. It says, Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with someone that is so easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get find yourself caught in a trap. You go find with somebody that's angry all the time, somebody that's mean, somebody that's evil, and you see how he can make people bow down, and you see how people get scared and he get to have his way, and you see how people respect him sometimes because they're scared of him, and you might decide, when something happens, I'm going to act the same way he does. But you hadn't seen the end of his life yet. People learn how to be mean from other people. People learn how to be violent from other people. He said, don't do it. How do you think so many young guys learn how to try to be thugs or to be hard? The same little boy that would cry when you leave him, when he can't see you, when you walk around the side of the house to pick up something, and he crying because he can't see you. 15 years later, he trying to shoot somebody. Where you learn? He didn't learn that from that crime. He learned it from somebody. Don't make friends with people like that. Find yourself caught in a trap, because you might not get away with it as long as he did. Verse 26. Don't be one who makes promises to guarantee loans for debts if you don't have the ability to pay. Why should your bed be taken from under you? What is he saying here? I guess I better read in King James so you can see how it fits. It says, be not one of them that strike hands, make agreements. No, shake hands, strike hands. Don't be one of those that do that. Don't be one of those that make strike hands, clap hands, hold hands, shake hands for sureties. That means you're going to be a bond. You're going to take a pledge for somebody. You're going to co-sign for somebody for their debts if you don't have anything to pay with. How do I tell somebody that Qantas owe Randall $50 and if Randall don't, if Qantas don't pay him back, I'm going to pay you, Randall. I cross my heart and I sign a paper. And I ain't got no money. Qantas gone. Qantas had to go work in Europe for a while. Now he's like, you said you're going to pay it. You got the paper signed, so now what I'm going to do, I'm going to sue you and get what I want. I get what I'm supposed to get. At this particular time, when it talks about a bed, that's the term for your house. Or take where you live. So just you see, he's telling you, don't be so quick opening that mouth. Then you're going to pay a debt for somebody. You're going to be going to stand for that debt if you're broke. If you don't have anything, why should he take away thy bed from under you? Because at that time, debts had to be paid, or you could be sold as a slave. Verse 28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Don't go be trying to move the landmark and stuff, or trying to move the area of the land that somebody owned, trying to make your yard bigger, trying to take part of somebody's land. Don't be wicked like that. On the spiritual sense, don't be trying to move that which is right and saying that is not right. You see, they're trying to move a landmark now. God set up marriage between man and woman, didn't he? They're trying to move the landmark, y'all. They're trying to say it can be between man and woman and still be marriage. They need to find their own word. You say you got a union of two people and you're going to try to do it legally, but it's not what God calls marriage and it's not what God wants. But if you don't care what God wants, don't try to move the landmark from the people that love God and teach it to our children. Then it says, see thou a man that's diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall stand before men of means, or mean men. That don't mean like mean that's going to fight. That means mean. That means people that have means that's not that great. Means, that means the person is low down. Not low down like no good, but people that don't have much. This man will stand before kings, and he'll stand before people that don't have that much. I'll read that in this last version right here. Do you see the man that's skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. And he will stand before people that's not important, but he will stand before kings where it says, this one says not unimportant people, but the thrust is he's going to stand before great men, he'll also stand in the midst of everybody that happens to see him. Why? He's diligent in his works. He's the exact opposite of a man that's saying, there's a lion out there. I can't go to work. How does all of this stuff fit in our lives? The first way it fits in our life is, number one, we ought to try to be rich in the things of God, because the greatest name that we could have is to be called a son of God. That ought to be worth more than riches and favor, to be called a son of God. Look at verse 3. We ought to be the kind of people that seek evil, the wickedness of this world, and try to stay away from it and not have to suffer the consequences. Verse 2, we ought to be able to understand that God rules over the rich and poor. We are not better than somebody we have more money than, and somebody have more than us is not better than us. God is still the God of all this earth. We ought to be able to look at verse 4 and realize that we have a humility before the Lord. God's going to give us a wealth. God's going to give us honor. God's going to give us life. And if he happened to give us monetarily wealth, great. But the wealth that he gives us in the blessing of Jesus, the wealth that he gives us in the respect and honor among our friends and the young people, what can replace that? I know we want money. I know we would like to be able to drive the kind of car we want to, because people look at you differently. But when there's a man of honor, can you imagine if you walked in a room, Kawanda, and you hear somebody talking about you behind your back and say, you know, I have never met a man as wise as him. I heard him tell this young boy such and such, and I saw that young boy go out there and do it, and that young man was blessed. I heard Randall and him talking one day, and I just sit there and listen for hours. And I ain't never heard nobody talking like that. I heard Mike and Sylvester talking about the Lord the other day, and I ain't never really thought about that Jesus or that God stuff, but they made me think. Do you understand? What's worth more than that? Well, I got the right people in here, but that's when people say, man, just pay my bills worth more than that. But that's when you're short-sighted. Number 5, go ahead, Sylvester.
The New Testament said we never talk enough about God. We don't talk enough about God.
Well, I know the Psalms say that in his law does he meditate day and night. That word for meditate means to speak of. Hey, when we talk about it day and night, we'll be like a tree.
I know, like, I don't know exactly what the New Testament is. We talk about everything, talk about the Lord.
You got me on that. I know it makes sense. I can't call the scripture. You stumped me.
I'm going to look it up.
You stumped me.
I'm going to look it up.
Kind of give me some more of what was going on when he said that.
I think it's in Corinthians.
Okay.
I know the angel of light, though. The devil can turn himself into the angel of light.
Right, that's 7 Corinthians 11.
11, 14. And then the brethren, the foolishness of the Lord is wiser than man.
That's right.
I think it's been that one. I don't know. I got them all. But when my stuff got messed up, I'm going to show what I need to, you know, we always talking about. You know, we can talk about all the food.
But I know that's just true. We don't talk enough. Yet the words of our Psalm 19 and 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Will you get it from me? Because I definitely want to lock it in my memory.
Let me go through my bag.
Okay, number 5 tells us that thorns and snares are in the path of a perverse person. If you're cautious, you stay away from it. If your path is not with God, I promise you, the downfall is going to come. It's there, it's waiting. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. 6, train the child in what's appropriate for him. Don't let your child grow up willy-nilly like they're just thorns and thistles and weeds in the yard. Train him how to grow. Even they take vines and put them on a rope or something, or something so that the vine can get the most production. They take tomatoes and put them on steaks so they can get the best production. Why don't you do that for your child? Good God Almighty. And then it talks about how the wealthy rule over the poor, and the one that borrows a slave to the lender. Don't be borrowing so much that you're in debt to people. Be a slave to God, not to the stuff you want. Then you got to keep paying people. 8 says, if you sow wickedness, you're going to reap trouble. and the person that used anger for a weapon will be destroyed. Don't sow wickedness if you don't want trouble. Sow to the Spirit and reap life everlasting. Galatians 6, about 6 through 9. Be generous, the Bible says. Whoever is generous to be blessed. And you share your food with the poor. An individual that's generous. Don't just be generous with your food. Be generous with the word of God. That means get it so you can be generous with it and help somebody. Get rid of people that mock and scorn or get away from them because they cause confusion and trouble. They ain't really interested in God's word if they scorning and mocking and every time, what about this? What about this? What about this? And not and never trying to get to the essence of it. I just want to argue, but I don't want to grow from God's word. Learn to have gracious speech that we talked about earlier in verse number 11. Have a pure heart with gracious speech. Learn to have respect for your peers. Learn to have something good to say to somebody. Don't just have to be somebody like a Mr. President, a Mr. Governor, or your honor. Why can't it just be somebody that's regular? I call young children mister. I see a young boy about 17. I might call him, how you doing, young man? Sometimes they hadn't been called a young man. Sometimes they used to be calling boy. I understand they might be a boy, but it didn't hurt me to call them young man. And sometimes say, sir. I ain't got to call every word so I can show him a look. You know what I'm saying? That I respect him. I'm telling you, when you give it, many times it comes back. 12 said the Lord watches over all. And God watches over. He has knowledge and he knows how to ruin the plans of the unfaithful. A lazy person not going to do anything. And that's what happens when it comes to the word of God. A lazy person says, it's going to be hard. I can't understand the Bible. That's just like saying it's a line in the street. I'm going to be killed. The Bible's going to be hard to read. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be sleepy. I ain't going to understand it. So I won't even pick it up and try to read it. But I'll keep watching TV. I'll keep watching Jerry Springer. I'll keep watching stuff that has folly on it. And you're going to learn the wrong thing. It talks about the mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. You walk with God and you be the kind of person that's going to marry before you get out there and lay up with somebody. You won't have to worry about this pit. And it says a child has a tendency to do wrong. Training. And it says, whosoever oppresses the poor to enrich himself and give wealth to the gifts to the wealthy, he lose out. Anything anybody want to say on these passages we just covered? Even on the conference line. Is there any verse that just stuck out to you a lot?
I can tell you I thought about the verse that talked about prudent man being able to keep wisdom and escape.
Right.
What verse is that?
Let me roll back to it. I think it's the fifth one, but just let me check. Nope. It's the third. It's the third.
A prudent man forces the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. I thought about something in Exodus. Do you remember when Moses went to Pharaoh and told him that hell, that God was going to rain hell down?
Yep.
And he told, and when he told them, some of the servants overheard, and those that feared the Lord, they feared the word of the Lord, they took their servants and their cattle out of the field.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
But those that didn't fear, they left them out there and they perished.
Yep.
That was a good example of when you don't fear the word of the Lord. How you can perish. You don't respect it enough, you don't fear it enough to do.
Well, I know that one has happened to me too many times. I'm trying not to let the Lord do that to me anymore. Because, you know, being a man and everything, you know, you don't see God and, you know, you don't see him. And sometimes you feel like They doing it. Ain't nothing happening to them. But we don't know what's happening to people when God, we don't know when they have chest pain and when they have a problem. We don't know. Folk don't tell you every time the Lord have broke them down. So sometimes they don't know it's the Lord. They call it bad luck. You know, I'm going to tell you the one that got me. I keep thinking about the one. I just keep thinking about the one where the man that had the gracious words of purity. And I just realized that sometimes we, especially we black men, we so hard on each other. We just say any kind of thing. We know some of us got to have triggered temper anyway. We know some of us, you know, are feeling easy to be upset. And, you know, and almost like we feel like we weak if we treat somebody with respect or say mister. Or, you know, it's like we act like our wrist got bent because we treat somebody kind.
Well, I think we don't understand that there's favor in it. I mean, if you're going to be the friend of the king, you're going to feel stable, you're going to eat good, you're going to drink good, everything's going to be lovely to you.
But folk get to thinking, they people say, well, he kissing up, and they scared of hearing that. What do you say to that?
Well, you think about Joseph. Mm. Joseph and Pharaoh. I think about Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar and Darius. I think about Mordecai. You know, all these men who, it was not that they trusted them. They just really just told the truth. They really straight, they kept their integrity. And their integrity was to God and not to me. And so that's the difference where you think you're fucking up to somebody. It's not fucking up to somebody. It's speaking the truth. It's being, showing that kind of wisdom that men seek after to rule their kingdom. So they want to be around somebody who's honest and who's heart is good and their hands are clean. And, you know, and we don't see their favor in there. If we look at these men in the Bible, we look at Joseph, he didn't, you know, it wasn't that he sucked up to the Pharaoh. He had the wisdom of God when he died. But without the wisdom of God on your side, you will be kicking butt. We'll be doing. You know, so if without the wisdom of God, there is a difference. But these men truly had the wisdom of God on their side, and they had the integrity. They had clean hands. They had pure hearts. And their heart was towards God and not towards these men. And, you know, and even this something to these men. You know, so none favor in it for them. You know, these men were in captivity, and they were still being blessed.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were bottom of the line slaves, weren't they?
Right. And so we don't see the favor, you know, that comes from having integrity instead of having macho or having ego. You know, there's nothing in that. There's vain and it's empty. And it'll get you killed.
Yeah.
It's not that you're fucking up to it, it's that you're showing integrity from God's perspective. And that's who your allegiance is to. This person just gets the benefit of having you around with the wisdom of God inside of you.
Well, that's one I'm working on. I'm working on that. I'm telling myself, these people in the image of God, if I can, without kissing up, just respect the man. Just respect him. And he might not know I'm respecting him when I'm doing it. But if my heart is pure, and one day he said, this man really respect me. He don't talk me down when I ain't around. He respect me. And one day I'm down there, my tie might be flat. Hey man, you got your suit on me. I'm going to change this tie for you. I ain't had something like that to happen before. Somebody look out for me. Mike, which one stick out to you really well? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. One or two or three. Now, sometimes you have about four of them.
No, I was just, I was just sitting there thinking how the two things that you mentioned, the two directions that bounce back and forth, and it talks about the doing and the seeking. You know, and it just made me think of a couple other passages, you know, like in Peter, mm-hmm. James,
We just speak just a little bit loud. I want to make sure that it's on you on the recording, okay?
All right. First Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3.
Are you talking about where the wife, where the husband could be one without the conversation of the wife?
No, it says.
I mean, without the word from the wife, but by that conversation.
This is like, I guess it starts to verse 8, it goes on down, but it starts talking about what God has called you to do, and He will bless you for it. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and keeping your lips from telling lies. Certainly, if you will do good, search for peace and work to maintain it. You know, and that was one of the realms that we had thrown across tonight. But I guess my mind just started bouncing real well when we started talking about this chapter bounced back and forth from what we should do and what we should. How we should be with our actions, with our lives, and what we should avoid with our mouths.
Anything else?
No, not really right now. Well, there's some news of one other thing that came to comment. Even in James, it talks about listening and doing. That would be like, first chapter of James, the 19th verse. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be, and I guess I can't remember which verse we were on, but this one jumped to it. He said we must be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires.
That's the truth the other time.
So I was able to compare that to what we're going to do, which we're going to do.
But that's James chapter 1. That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Sylvester was over here quoting it. Sylvester was over here quoting it. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God.
Right.
Yeah, because it will. Like my wife said, folk will kill you. And it almost seemed like if we really. You know, like how black guys will give each other dap, what's up, brother, and all of that. But we don't act like we no brother to each other. It's just talk. I don't even need your dap if we're not going to... We ain't got to be best friends. You really don't even have to like me. But can't we respect one another? Can't we respect one another and look out for each other's children? You know, can't we go back to what some of the old days were? God, the only time I see people seemingly look out for somebody is when they come from another country. Maybe you get a group of people from Asia that come in, they look out for each other. It's a group from Mexico care for each other, from India. What happened to the people that live here all the time? It's like we are our worst enemies. And that just ought not be. What really stuck out to you in that passage?
Well, I don't have to say, you know, about the good name of the world and the riches of stuff. We have a big time challenge, you know. We try to see, you know, broken feet on the ground. Everybody want a piece of us. Yes, I want a piece of the ground.
That's true. Did you hear what he said, Randall? Is that everybody wants some of that bling, that glamour, but they don't want that good name. Who you have, Mike?
There's just one thing that I was on. If you would touch back on it, don't teach your neighbors by leaving ancient boundary markers set up by previous generations.
The children of Israel had what are called inheritances that they were supposed to keep, and they were supposed to keep them within their own boundaries. And so what they would do sometimes, they would take advantage sometimes, and they would plow somebody else's field, get a little bit of the land and use it for themselves. They would use stuff, and they would take things that belonged to certain people. They would stretch their little land out a little more. Sometimes you have a landmark somewhere, and you move it so you get cheap, you know, take the land, you know what you're doing. But that goes even deeper because they had certain rites and rituals they weren't supposed to leave. They were supposed to keep a Sabbath day. They were supposed to have certain feasts. They were supposed to only serve Yahweh, but they weren't supposed to deal with Moloch or Baal or something. And so you move the ancient landmark of what was right, that was stable, and so you move it in a spiritual sense. There was a time when black people, before we got educated, as we call it, we used to like God. You used to say something like, people say God and then say damn. The old people get on to us. Now, that ain't no big deal. You hadn't even started cussing yet till you say that one. You know, you don't even know how to cuss. And they do it in front of children. And one of the landmarks that they really trying to move right now is that of marriage. One of the other landmarks they're trying to move, what does it really mean to be a Christian? Being a Christian don't mean being a wimp. What being a Christian is like is being Jesus, and Jesus was nobody's wimp. They wouldn't have killed a wimp. If Jesus was as sweet and as juicy and bubblegum fresh as people thought, they wouldn't have killed him. But Jesus would say the hard things. He did what my daddy said, okay? And my daddy said, if you do this, you're a hypocrite. They're like, who are you, boy? Trying to tell us. Well, he's like, you moved the landmark. The whole Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 talks about people removing landmarks. Jesus said, you have heard it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But that ain't what God said. That is not what he said. He said, you will love your neighbor as yourself if you move the landmark. He said, you have heard it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, a wound for a wound. Well, he needs to go from wound for wound and stripe for stripe. But what he was saying is, you don't repay evil for evil. It was when you had the court system that it was done. You weren't supposed to just do it. You had a court system. You had a Sanhedrin. You had a Bet Din. You had a high priest. You don't just go up and bust somebody. They take matters. They had a law.
And so what's being said in the verse is, because made certain changes on our own along the way in the past, this is why things are so short and not.
That's why Islam is taking over the minds of a lot of people, and they don't even know how many Qurans they, because people tell them it's just one. There was a lot of them that were burnt. I have copies of the Qurans. I got one in this computer right here. You remember that time I was talking to that guy and I read something in here, Randall? I ain't just talking, but I don't have it because I believe in it. I have it because sometimes I'm talking to a younger brother or older brother, and he said, well, what about the Quran? I said, what about it? Let's look at it. What does it say? What does the Bible say? Who wrote that? You got one so-called author versus the Bible, 40 authors. Over 2,000, right at 1,700 to 2,000 years, living on three different continents, writing about every area and aspect of life and keeping a harmonious blend of the Word of God in succession and in complete harmony. Harmony. If one tell you that God say, the other one tell you that God. Some of these people never met each other. Some of them were farmers. Luke was a doctor. David was a shepherd and became a king. Solomon was a wise man and a king. You got Amos out there with the figs. You got You got different ones. You got the book of the generation of Adam, the first man. You got Moses raised up by the Egyptians. You got Joshua commanding general writing. You got different ones write the scripture. And yet you're going to say that this with 40 authors over 2,000, right at 2,000 years, you're going to compare it to one that's written by one in the 7th century who's copying and plagiarizing stuff out of it? Because you don't know. So that's why I said, let me look at it. Why? Because I want to have the lips of wisdom for those that have questions. Maybe they'll do like that verse said that we were reading and turn their ear and try to hear a little bit. Maybe not. But I try. And it's hard because a lot of people don't want to hear anything that's different than what they already know. But I'm telling you, the day that they have to meet God in judgment. See, a lot of us, we think when we die, it's over. It's not over, Rounder. When you die, you still are very conscious. When you die, you are very conscious. You are not unconscious the moment you die. When the moment you die, what has happened is your spirit and your soul have been snatched away from your body. You're in a conscious state right now. And in that conscious state, that's the same state where Jesus told the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. The thief couldn't be with him in the grave because Jesus was put in a tomb that nobody ever laid in before. It was Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and they rolled a stone in front of it. Now, how are you going to be with Jesus in paradise unless paradise was a place that was in Sheol? That was separated. The upper part, they say, is for the righteous, and the lower part is for the wicked. And Jesus talked about that with Lazarus and the rich man. Oh, it's conscious, brother. We know when we die what our state is going to be. If you're in torment when you die, you're going to stay in that torment till the day of judgment when you're judged by on the great white throne. Then you're going to be punished according to your works, according to your deeds, the measure that is meant for you. So the people that used to hang our ancestors that think they got away with it, you don't get away from the Almighty God. People like Hitler, Pol Pot, Stalin, Lenin, that did things to millions of people, God got a perfect punishment for them. But that's them. What about us? Those of us who turn our back on God, those of us who don't care about God, those of us who think we are all of that, and we ignore Him, ignore the offering of His Son for our forgiveness, He's got a place for us too. And that's the word to the wise. When you start helping people think about, brother, you're not guaranteed to be here tomorrow. You better think about it. We got another gentleman here. Sir, would you like to have anything to say before I pray and close us out? Yeah, you got a strong voice, don't he? Yeah. I can't do it. It hurt my throat. But I thank you for coming and being here with us, and I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to bless us. Father, I thank you for your merciful and your gracious word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your chastening when we need it. Thank you for giving us time to just think about your word, because in this world, it's kind of odd for people to see some men get together to think about you and be concerned about your word. But Lord, we just want to be concerned about your word so that when our day come, they will snatch from our bodies if we go and be in the presence of you instead of torment. Father, I ask you to protect us and help us in whatever we need to do, whatever jobs we need to have, whatever income we need to make, whatever kind of changes in our lives that we need to make so that we can be the kind of men that can be a benefit not only to each other but to younger men and women, so that we can walk in true wisdom and righteousness. Father, if you'll help us do these things, I know that we can have the good name that comes from you. Other people might not like it, but if we have your good name, then Father, I know that'll be the most wonderful blessing that we can ever have. It's worth more than riches. And then, Lord, there are times you'll give riches to those that will bow the knee to you and have humility and fear for you. Help us, I pray, until we meet again. Amen.